B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So we'd ask our fans to stay with us. And get behind this club in 2020. No one is waving the white flag, but we need to go out and do it on the field, and that's what these guys will be prepared to do.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maserati, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Also simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. We come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. How did Sam Kennedy just phrase that, Mass?
He said, stay with us to our friends.
As opposed to?
Reserve judgment. We ask you to
reserve. We would ask that everyone reserve judgment.
We ask our fans to reserve judgment.
We would ask fans reserve judgment.
And so I think he caught himself, or they certainly made it a point in the press room, don't say reserve judgment, because we shoved that one down their throat. That, again, he sort of paused. We asked our fans to stay with us.
So we'd ask our fans to stay with us.
I mean, I do. I think he was going to say reserve judgment. And, you know, they said, well, we already used that.
We would ask that everyone reserve judgment.
We ask our fans to reserve judgment.
We would ask fans reserve judgment.
So we'd ask our fans to stay with us.
Oh, that's a good pickup, man.
Seriously, right? I noticed it when I was watching the press conference. I said, oh, God, here it comes again. Here comes the reserve judgment again. And he caught himself. Like, so look, I don't know how they changed the narrative of this, to get back to your point about, like, how do they market this year now? I feel like they've dug themselves in so deep, it's going to be all on the players entirely. And, like, they almost have to get off to some sort of great start to make everybody forget this.
Seriously.
I mean, it's – where do you go?
Okay, so this and the Brady decision, Bruins at the deadline, which is a week from today, whatever you want. Tim in Walpole, lead us off this hour. Hi.
Hey, guys. Just wondering your opinion. Do you think some of this hysteria about Mookie leaving is kind of generational? I'm an old guy, 62. I've seen, I think, really good players leave forever. Boggs, Clemens, Lester, Fred Lynn, Tony Conigliaro. And I know different circumstances, and I'm wondering, because my generation grew up cheering the uniform versus the personality, that it now it seems like it's more around the personality. I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments.
Okay, here's what I'm sensing. That people are more hysterical, to use your word, over ownership reaction versus the actual trade of Mookie Betts.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, again, for weeks and months, we knew this was on the table. And there were rumors and developments. And I'm sorry, got very little calls on it, very little action on it. I think fans were sort of resigned to the fact. And there wasn't much buzz about it. There just wasn't. And then he got traded. And ownership started shoveling the bullcrap. And I think that got people's attention almost as much as the trade itself.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
They're more mad at them than they are at the trade.
Seriously.
Yeah, I think that's, again, which is astonishing when you think about it, that they've won four titles. Four. I mean, the only team in town that has had more success in this millennium is the Patriots. And they've had more success than everybody in the country. And these guys get skewered. And I just think they just come off as so phony that the fan base looks at him and goes, we can't believe anything that comes out of your mouth. You never give it to us straight.
So here's another one. Play F, Jimmy. This is a sort of a long back and forth about Heim Bloom saying last week that he can understand why fans would think this team's going to be worse, after which he was taken out back and beaten by Red Sox ownership, because he'll never say that again. And he now wears a dog collar where he gets zapped if he says anything half as honest as that going forward. But here's that exchange on that.
So John, like last week when Heim talked to us, he said, we expect that we're going to be worse without Ben, Mookie, and David. So as the owner, how do you tell your fans that this is not a bridge year?
I mean,
There it is. First of all, sorry, go ahead.
I read that. I also think that Heim has said that he believes we're going to be very competitive this year. I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
Don't you think this would be a record payroll for a bridge year?
Okay.
Yeah, one of the benefits of these jobs is you go around, you talk to your counterparts at the other 29 clubs, and you walk into the room, and they sort of roll their eyes and say, yeah, we'd love to, you know, have your challenges or your issues. And, Dan, I think Chaim was very clear that the club is built to compete in the American League East. But, yes, it's no doubt harder to get to that ultimate goal when you lose a player like Mookie Betts. That's, no one debates that. But we are now in a position with newfound resources, newfound flexibility, and a club that only won 84 games last year that we felt underperformed. So we do think we're in a position, while more challenging, we do think we're in a position in the American League East to compete, given the players that we have on our roster and given the resources that we do have.
Okay, again, Henry's the only one actually giving little truths there.
Yeah.
I mean, his little interjection there was great.
I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
Don't you think this would be a record payroll for a bridge year?
Great job. So it's honest. I mean, you know, at least it's got some tude, some attitude, some edge. Like, a bridge year, I'm still paying $200 million for this thing.
Yeah, I mean, if they really wanted to go the bridge route for financial reasons, they would cast off two more guys. Jackie Bradley, see you later, and who else knows, right? Like, so, but the fact is, they are taking a step back, right? So we can call it a bridge. You can call it whatever you want. They're taking a step back for the longer term. There's no two ways about that. I just wish they were more direct about this stuff.
Boy, that term is like a slur to them, though.
Oh, it is.
I want to make hats, bridge shirts, bridge hoodies. I got to get on that and not be lazy about it, because I think people would wear that. Oh, they get so mad.
I think we should trademark the term, Murray, bridgier. Yeah.
Tony and Holbrook on the Brady. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on, Tony. 1 second. Danny in Rhode Island's been waiting very patiently. Danny, thanks for hanging on the Brady Watch. What do you got?
Hey, thanks, guys. I just want to quickly say I'm glad Colin Cowherd gave me praise a couple weeks ago. It was kind of embarrassing to a number of national media guys who aren't on top of the Brady stuff. But anyway, I think something that's missing in Brady Watch 2020 is his good friend Alex Guerrero. You know, there was that huge contract negotiation where, you know, Brady was pissed during the season. He wasn't on the sideline, and then he wouldn't answer any questions about him being able to be on the sideline. What are your thoughts on, I know they want the TB12 kind of station attached to the new stadium, but how about Brady wanted to make sure that, you know, his business partner, godfather to his child, gets a position on the team as a physical trainer.
So I don't know if Brady wants that, but he wants him right there.
Well, so Guerrero did also put his house on the market, though, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I don't understand.
Well, he's prepared to move with Brady.
Package deal.
Apparently he bought one in Plymouth, though. Yeah. So, right, which is why I say vacation property, whatever. That's not where you don't live in Plymouth and work in Foxborough, do you?
No.
It's a pain in the ass commute.
I would think so. And it hurts the narrative.
Right, exactly. It doesn't fit my agenda, so I'm going to dismiss the house in Plymouth.
That's not going to be a sticking point to any of these other idiot teams, whether it's the Raiders, Chargers, whoever. Like, yeah, fine. You want him on the sideline? Fine.
Child's play.
Right.
He can go wherever he wants.
It's a layup.
Does he want an office next to the locker room? He used to have one in Foxborough until they kicked his ass out of there. I don't know where he is now. But this is not unusual. So wherever, I mean, you think Mark Davis is going to blow up that deal over Alex Guerrero having an office next to the, or whatever, an official position on the staff? Like, no brainer.
Can you see that one? Brady sitting there going, you're not going to make my trainer massage me in the suite like Belichick did. Can I actually have my own room near the locker room?
Right, next to the serving trays or whatever he had to that year.
We'll invent a title and give him whatever he wants.
Totally. Like, that to me is easy. Luke and Rainham on the... Oh, no, again, I'm out of order. My fault, Luke. Hold on. Tony and Holbrook. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Two things. Guys, what do you think Brady can't accept to go out on top? I mean, he's won 6 championships. And the other thing, Jim, thanks for taking the recommendation of great movie Whiplash.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. Okay. Hope you enjoyed it.
Okay, we can do that some other time on the off-air show presented by Ace Ticket. Movie recommendations. Murray has good ones. The first thing about he can't accept going out on top, like, what do you mean?
He should walk. It's easier for, I think, the caller to say, if I'm Tom Brady, I just won that championship after the win over the Rams, you should have walked then. I'm kind of not alone there. Like, if he goes to one of these crap teams and he sucks and it's ugly, you know, like Emmett Smith on the Cardinals at the end, like, that would be bad. I don't think it's going to taint the legacy, though.
It would have a short-term dent.
Sure.
I mean, certainly hurt the immediate, you know, sellability of TB12 if he suddenly looks 50 years old. So he does, like, I think if he retires now, he has nothing to lose. He's basically on top. Even if last year, you know, it was disappointing, he still looks like a good NFL quarterback. So I think he has something to lose on that. But the thing about, you know, I know you've talked about this before, Maz, too. Winning and winning at all is probably not the most important thing.
Yeah, I think he's got, you know, we're, a lot of people, I think, are looking at this move wrong. And with this move, it's not necessarily about the football. It's about setting up the next phase of his life. So that's what he's doing now. He's making the transition out of football. He's already got all the wins. He's got all the rings. He's not LeBron going to Miami. It's totally different.
I think for him and his next thing, he doesn't need to win at all. He needs to look like he's younger than 43 and still be one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Still good.
You know, so still good on a contending team. It doesn't have to win at all, but he can prove his point just by going somewhere and looking really, really good and winning. If not at all, but winning. Like, I think that proves the point.
So like you said, he could take a little bit of a dent here, right?
But I mean, so on the other hand, there is a risk that if he, you know, suddenly really falls off the cliff overnight, then it's hard to say, you know, I got the fountain of youth over here.
Is there anything to gain?
Yeah, for his business. Yeah. If he goes out and has an MVP caliber season like he did a couple of years ago, but they still don't win the title, yeah, that helps TB12 tremendously.
Well, is your point that he's already done that?
No. My point is, what if he goes to a new place and wins?
Oh, yeah. Well, then it's through the roof.
Like, he can still gain.
Yes, he can still gain.
It might not be, you know, might be incremental relative to the rest of his career. But if he were to go and, like, let's say they go and he wins the Super Bowl. Holy crap.
Well, but I also think the market plays into it. If he goes and does that in Los Angeles, suddenly TB12 in L.A.'s got a real good head start. What I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, so I think, like, there's a play there. Now it's Luke and Rainham. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Felger and Maz, thanks for taking my call. The point I wanted to bring up, Maz actually just mentioned something on it about 30 seconds, about a minute ago. With this whole Brady watch, with his contract expiring and that he can go a number of places, I was actually wondering what you guys think. Do you think they're going to sit him down in March or even April and give him the quote-unquote the decision like they did for LeBron? Thanks, guys.
Is he, well, wouldn't it be they? He. Would he sell it? We talked about this last week. Do another Tom versus Time. This time it's just on the free agency thing. All the behind-the-scenes stuff about the free agency. Wouldn't put it past him.
No, he could sell that. If he sells the actual decision part of it, ooh, that's really bad. So it's one thing to come out and say, okay, you know, he's going to sign with Oakland and, you know, there's a press conference in Oakland and whatever. Okay, or Vegas. But the, and then if you want to release the you know, Tom versus Time part two as an inside look at the, you know, the pursuit of Tom Brady, fine. But if you actually monetize the announcement, don't you think that's horrible?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's gross.
Well, I mean, but I thought the Super Bowl thing was gross. That's what he did there. Not that he announced anything. I mean, I guess maybe he treated it. You know, I'm not going anywhere. So maybe he did. He's already kind of done it. I want to put it past him to own the content and sell the content. The Hulu thing was gross as it was.
But
that
maybe
thing
that's
was freaking gross.
Maybe that's the preview. I'm not going anywhere. Now he's pitching for Hulu. The whole thing's going to be on Hulu.
I mean, that'd be a nice, neat tie, wouldn't it?
How does he do it? How does he announce it? He's going to the Oakland Raiders, Vegas Raiders.
Instagram.
Yeah, it's Instagram story, right? Whatever the
or yeah. Schefter. Like, you know, I mean, Schefter gets everything first, right? Or at least it feels that way. But Brady would do it on Instagram.
Continue with your thoughts. Brady Watch and the owners down in Fort Myers. Back to you after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oakland or Tennessee offers him $30 million, and the Patriots come in at $20 million. You think he comes back to New England?
I do.
Mike.
I do, Steve.
I'm not Mike. Mike.
I do.
Really?
I think the comfort level, and not it's not just a number. What if they do it over 2 years, Steve? Let's just, or 3 years, you know, just to say, we don't want to have this discussion again next year.
So Oakland is going to offer him $30 million a year. A year?
Yeah, let's say 2 years.
And the Patriots off from 20, and you think he's back here in New England?
I do. You think I'm pretty naive, don't you?
I love you to death.
Sunshine, but, sunshine. It's always sunshine here.
Again, Mike Reese over the weekend. Last night on Sports Final. And so Mass and I kind of agree with Mike that I can see it happening. Raiders 2 at 30 per. Patriots 2 at 20 per. He's leaving $20 million guaranteed on the table. You think he would do it? He might.
He might is right.
He might.
If he has the guarantee that they're actually going to spend on some of the free agents and get him weapons, I think he probably would.
I mean, I think it's as much about getting that second fully guaranteed year as it is the dollar figure. Like, maybe more. Like, I think if... No. I want a commitment. Commitment. Put the ring on my finger. Let's go. Commitment. And I think if they give him that he'd be willing to take a less expensive ring.
Mikey wrote on Sunday, no movement on Brady talks. He says it's officially 1 month until the start of the March 16th legal tampering period. Again, he wrote it yesterday. When teams can negotiate with representatives for upcoming free agents, which narrows the timeline for Brady. Narrows the timeline for Brady, Kraft, and Belichick to come together and have the all-important meeting to set the table for whether Brady will be back in New England. The Patriots are expected to seek clarity on Brady's intentions before the start of free agency on March 18, because his decision will have a significant trickle-down effect on the team's overall plans. With no movement to date, Reese says, I'm sticking with an 80% odds on Brady's return at this time. So, you know, again, I keep saying they want Brady to go to free agency. They want him to see what's out there for his peace of mind, yet they also want some indication soon. You know, you can't have that both ways. Either you're committing and giving them an indication or you're shopping yourself. Which is it? You can't do both. Especially before March 18, unless I've been saying for a while, can they give him permission to go speak to other teams? You just said to me off the air, what, Maz?
Yeah, I think it's against the rules. So that's my understanding.
Did some checking on that?
Yeah, I did. I sniffed around about it a little bit, and here's the logic, and it makes sense. The league wouldn't allow it because it's not fair to all the other free agents. So in other words, you say, well, what, we're going to let Brady go to market and potentially kill the market for Jameis Winston or someone else? Like, no good. Can't do it that way. No. Your time to do that, when you have them under contract, you can do it. If you want to make a trade or something, that's allowed. But in terms of affecting the marketplace, no. Like, think about that, right? You'd be pissed if you were a team that had a free agent quarterback.
Yeah.
You'd say, you're going to let him out there and let him go sniff around, screw the market for me?
Right.
No way. Like, it makes sense. I don't think it's allowed.
Okay. So
that's my understanding of it.
So it's all going to be behind the scenes, all going to be hush-hush. Apparently, it ramps up at the combine, which I find silly. Like, no one has a cell phone. No one can text each other. There's no burner phones. You can't have a conversation. You got to wait to get to stupid Indianapolis in the rat maze of catwalks, you know, before you can talk contract with Brady's people. Like, I just find that insane.
You gotta start drinking.
I guess that's it. So anyway, we have that. We have the Red Sox stuff. We continue with your thoughts. Cope open lines at 617-779-0985. John in Foxborough on the Red Sox. Hi, John.
Hi, Mike and Tony. How are we?
Good. What do you got?
You know, I hate, this is maybe a little bit too practical for Monday Sports Radio, but Tony, the Yankees and Dodgers are already in the World Series. This is a exhibition for everyone else season. If Mookie wasn't going to sign for next year, this is the best year to reboot, get your finances all set. Mookie wasn't going to stay. We offered 300. He offered 400. He didn't meet us in the middle of 350. He was gone anyways. I know it's great to, you know, like there was a time in sports radio when the caller would call and the host would calm the caller down. But the Brady thing is, Brady's 42. You know, this is kind of ridiculous conversation.
So, John, you changed topics. Just stick with that first thing about the Red Sox had to do this because of the situation they're in. I think a lot of people agree. That's not the outrageous part.
No, because it's been building for so long. Again, I think people saw they've tried to sign him, and he wouldn't come down. And so because of that, they said, well, what are you going to do? Let him walk and get nothing for him or get something? So they decided to get something.
Like, that whole piece, I think people are more okay with than the piles of cow dung that the owners shovel at you when they get in front of those microphones in Fort Myers. That's the thing that I think sort of sets people over the edge.
Yeah, they're less agitated with the message than they are with who's giving it to them. Like, that's sort of what it comes down to, which, again, is a statement unto itself. These guys have been here 20 years. They've won four titles. why aren't they loved?
Oh, God.
Like, you know, they really, you think about it, you say they should be building statues.
Well, no, I mean, the ones I compare it to are Wick and Danny, who I like and I think do a good job. I'm not, you know, this sounds like I'm bashing them, but those guys have won one, and fans think they're impeccable.
Right.
I mean, they treat Ainge like this sort of master executive, like on this par with Bill Belichick. He's won once in 20 years. And Wick is, and I think Wick is a great owner, but I'm just telling you, he has no negative blowback. And he's won once in 20 years. The Sox have won four.
But look how
and people can't stand the sight of him.
But look how those two guys carry themselves. You listen to Danny Ainge's interview weekly with Tutcher and Rich. He's like, he's a real dude. You know, he can laugh at himself. He's self-deprecating. And I told you guys, like, I don't know, I was stunned. Coming back from Miami from the Super Bowl, I go on the plane, and it's Wick and his wife. I was like, in my head, I'm like, what? You're the owner of the Celtics. Don't you have a private plane? He's in first class. But still, I was like, oh, that's a real-ass dude.
Ish.
I mean, there might be a Boston thing there, too, right? You know?
Like, yep, maybe.
I mean, it is a parochial, provincial place. And so these guys are outsiders, just like Bruins, Jacobs.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's this, you know, there's this tendency to say, no, we don't trust you from the very beginning.
Oh, I don't know. People can come around to carpetbaggers. Look at you, Mike.
Thank you.
But so what it really... What
you
it
think
really,
they've come around?
What it really comes down to is one of the charms of being a New Englander is that people around here despise frauds. And John Henry and his minions are disingenuous frauds.
Yes. So that really that's might it. Be what it is.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, that's really it. It's the you know, you're lying to me. You're trying to spin it. Just give it to me straight and move on. Exactly. I got stuff to do.
Wayne in Grafton on the Sox. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, how you doing? Who needs Mookie when you have Kevin Pillar? I know I'm being facetious, but, you know, he averages about 269, may hit 20 home runs, and good outfielder. You know, then if Verdugo gets his back fixed, we'll see what happens. He's a right-handed hitter who can hit. Now, Maz, I got something for you. This is baseball-related. Trust me. I heard on Beetle and Zoe you had problems with the facilities in the men's room for privacy. Remember Fenway Park when they had the horse trough?
Troughs,
go in there, elbow to elbow, hip to hip, and you just hang out. Hey, great hit by Yaz, and you'd rub your hands on your shirt, and then you leave. How would you like that, Mike? Peace out.
Okay, Wayne. I was going to give Wayne a little homework homework assignment for our dirty old man there in Grafton. Look up what CBT stands for in certain quarters. Okay?
Yeah, it's come to my attention in a certain
community. CBT is competitive balance tax. The CBT also means something else to another group of people.
Quite fitting, considering how they're treating the fans, really.
Look it up, Wayne. That's just for you. That's our gift from us to you. Go look that up, CBT. And so you talk about the partition that Maz built in our urinals there in our bathroom here.
Yeah.
Excellent job.
Oh, thank you.
Tremendous.
Yeah. We're going to put the video out tomorrow.
Outstanding. The Tool Bags podcast with you and Dan O'Brien.
Oh, yeah. We had the whole video team in there with us.
Tremendous. Buddy and Quincy on Brady. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Love the show. I've been listening to you guys for, like, as long as you've been on. I remember you, Mike, from 890 a.m.
Building.
My comment is simply, that guy had the stones enough to call you guys and say, hey, what if someone offered you $10 million? Would you go? And I just thought, you know, it was funny and it was poignant at the same time.
Got it. Okay, so I'm sorry. I don't understand. That was the end of the statement, not a setup.
His line is clearer than your signal on 890.
No, it is. Sure, that's how we sounded every day. The sun went down, it was even worse. He said it was funny and poignant at the same time. I thought he was saying it's funny and poignant. At the same time.
Oh, I got your
yeah,
transition.
See, I couldn't understand what he was saying. Yeah, couldn't understand what he was saying. I don't know where to go from there. Other than, shall we relive the beginning of the Red Sox press conference today with John Henry?
Sure.
Strolling down memory lane with Stan Musial. Was Stan the man? Show of hands out there, kids. Who's Stan Musial? Don't everybody answer at once. It is Felger and Maz here on a Reentry Monday presented by
East Boston Savings Bank. Maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage or a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Whatever it is, visit EBSB.com, East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Murray has the latest for you. Wait till you hear who's been elected to a prominent position in the NBA Players Association.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Good morning. This morning, before answering your questions, I'd like to begin by... And can you all hear me?
No?
We don't have... Do we have speakers? I'd like to begin by addressing Red Sox fans directly about this offseason. We're used to challenging off seasons, but this one has been particularly challenging.
That's the way the whole thing began today. He took it live on NBC Sports Boston, cut into the Zoe and Beatles simulcast, Hardy with McBone today. When John Henry hit the table, and that's how it began, I said, oh, here we go.
Can you hear me? Are the speakers on? I thought we installed new Bose speakers. They're a sponsor, you know. Hello?
So do they not have the speakers on or what? Like,
you got me.
Just the fumbling around. I'm like, oh, this is good.
Seriously.
This is good.
It's like, right, you just knew right then. You, like, oh, boy.
I'm like, all right, here we go. Love it. It's a tradition unlike any other. The owners meet the media down in Fort Myers, and we spend 4 hours poleaxing them that day. So here we are.
It's like a kid's birthday party. You just whack a pinata.
It's so easy. So what really stands out is that even though John Henry's the only one who might be willing to say some things that are truthful, they've ball gagged him. Basically, the old man comes out, he reads a statement, and then any other volleying or back and forth or questions go to Warner or Sam Kennedy. And John is just sort of there to maybe offer a little bit of a jab there, here or there, but he really doesn't say anything. A lot of times you step back from the mic and let someone else answer it.
I mean, I think the first two questions posed to him, his answers were no and yes. I'm not kidding. And then, you know, he got elaborated a little bit more, but they clearly don't want him talking off the cuff. And you know why? Because he'll tell the truth.
Yep.
right?
He'll let something slip.
Yeah, right. This goes back to that whole, you know, we need to be under the luxury tax. That's the one that triggered it when they said, well, we can't have him answer our questions anymore. He actually told them what we're doing. So, you know, and the other thing is he's not comfortable out there anyway, for crying out loud. They should just stop putting him out there. They really should.
Well, they're damned if they do, if they're damned if they don't. You know, you trade a franchise player, a generational player, and the owner won't say anything. Like, they'll get hammered for that.
True. So,
like, I mean, part of this is unfair. Like, this all acknowledged to the Red Sox directly. It's unfair. No matter what he does or you do, it's going to get hammered. It's going to get hammered. If he doesn't talk, we're going to hammer him for it. If he talks, we're going to make fun of him. You know, so they're there to answer the questions, but they don't really answer them, so we hammer them. They could be a little more real. Like that, I would definitely say you could just be a little more genuine. And that means take responsibility, admit you made a mistake if you made a mistake, answer the question in as real a fashion as you can, as opposed to this merry-go-round of word salad and, like, just the PR bullcrap would be my advice to them. But either way, here they are. And so, again, it's let the poleaxing commence. Should we listen to John Henry's opening statement as he reads it? Go ahead, Jimmy Roldan.
So let me begin by saying that those of us sitting here today know that our baseball operations department, under Haim and Brian's leadership, has handled these challenges extremely well. We are confident and optimistic, while at the same time cognizant of how all these challenges affect you, Red Sox fans. We feel responsible to face whatever challenges arise in a way so as to protect the organization and move forward for the long term, whether it's on or off the field. Before Tom or Sam or I ever dreamed of owning a Major League Baseball club. We were baseball fans like you. I grew up a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals. My favorite player was Stan Musial. My heart would have been broken if Stan the man had ever been traded for any reason.
Okay, so just stop.
Finger on the pulse, John.
I was just going to say.
Can you at least, even if that was your favorite player, how about making a Cardinals reference from the last 50 years? Can you give me Lou Brock, for God's sakes? How about, hey,
Stan the man. He truly was the man. And I love Dizzy Dean, too. You guys can relate.
Huh? No one under, I said 50 earlier, you're right, Maz. No one under 80 knows what the hell you're talking
80,
about.
I'm 50. Stan the man was well before my time.
Oh, way before me.
What was he in the 30s,
30s.
Or 40s?
No, a little 40s, bit later, 40s. I think. Yeah, a little bit later.
Hold on, stand by, keep talking.
40s into the 50s, I think.
Whatever.
But
keep
double
on.
Check it. But again, like, it's like Stan Musial. Holy crap. Like, well, why not just go all the way back to Garrigan Ruth if you're going to do that? Take me back to Walter Johnson.
From 41 to 44 and then 46 to 63, so he must have gone to the war. Good for him.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, I'm sure, you know, Stan the man, a huge player. But again, just the resonance here in Boston in 2020, probably not, like, probably not the hottest button reference you could have.
Oh, there. Listen, there were, like, 12-year-olds going, Daddy? Who's Stan Musial and who's Dustin Bugland? Yeah. That's another story. We'll get to that later, I think.
And Stan the man. At one time, that was hip. One time, that was cool. John Henry saying Stan the man.
Oh, just
keep going. Please.
Your parents or your grandparents surely felt the same way about Ted Williams and Yaz. So on one level, when I say I understand how many of you feel about this trade with the Dodgers, I know many of you, particularly our youngest fans, are disbelieving or angry or sad about it. I know it's difficult and disappointing. Some of you no doubt felt the same way in 2004 when we traded Nomar, who, like Mookie, was a hugely popular homegrown player.
Can we stop here? By the time we got to 2004, opinions on Nomar were really mixed.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
The injuries were piling up. The play had tailed off. He was a total prick in the locker room and just a dark cloud. Hated the Boston experience. You know, the famous line about him is he would, you know, someone that would rather have played in front of empty stadiums in front of fans. He was not, by the time it got to 04 and Theo pulled the trigger on that trade, at least half, if not more than half, rejoiced. Like, get him out of here already, this dark cloud.
And they had tried to trade him the previous winter.
And you know, the whole thing had happened with that game at Yankee Stadium where Jeter's flying into the stands and the guys get up on the bench to hit the field. He's just still sitting there. And, like, all that had... So by the time... It's a bad comparison. It's
and they tried to get into the game and Francona, sit your ass down. You're done tonight.
No, just... I mean, it's a bad comparison.
Oh, totally. Listen, again, the you know, with Nomar... This guy, for all the stuff that I've said about Mookie over the years, you know, a little overrated as a player, blah, blah, blah. He generally showed up to play every day, kept a smile on his face, or didn't, you know, certainly didn't scowl and, you know, draw lines in the clubhouse that people weren't supposed to cross over or anything like that. So he wasn't nearly as sour as Nomar.
A season removed from AL MVP, being part of a World Series championship team, and like 4 years younger than Nomar when he got traded too. And,
not apples to apples.
And over money.
Yeah, right.
Nomar had nothing to do with money.
Well, it did the previous winter. I mean, they tried to sign him one of those springs and he wouldn't sign, and that started the whole thing.
Well, but it really wasn't a money thing. It was a you don't fit here anymore thing.
Yeah. And then by the time they traded him because they thought his defense sucked, which it did. I mean, he had been hurt a lot, and you know there were a lot of other variables in there with Nomar.
But
so it's not a great analogy.
It's not, but keep going.
All of us in the organization hoped that we would never have to go through something like that again. But most clubs face similar dilemmas from time to time. I understand there's probably little I can say today that will change how you feel about this, but it's my responsibility to try. The baseball organizations we compete against have become much more strategic and thoughtful about how and where they spend their resources in their quest for titles. We cannot shy away from tough decisions required to aggressively compete for World Series. That is what led to this trade. free agency plays into many decisions clubs like ours have to make. Today's players spend years in the minor and major leagues earning the right to be paid in a free market, earning the right to make choices. They make significant sacrifices to get there, and they deserve what they receive. Clubs also have choices to make in this economic system. It's a system that has a few imbalances, as do all economic systems. But it's a system overall that has led to labor peace and an amazing market for our best players. It's not the system's fault that the Red Sox ended up in this position. We were faced with a difficult choice. You can talk about dollars, you can talk about metrics and value, but in the end, even though we are consistently among the highest spending clubs in baseball, with this year being no exception, we have to make hard judgments about competing for the future as well as the present. Over the last two decades and winning four titles along the way, we lost not only Nomar, but Pedro and Jacoby and John and Manny, among others.
Can we stop now?
Nobody cared about Jacoby Ellsbury leaving.
I mean, well, it wasn't quite 50-50, but he had a... There were before there were Jackie Bradley hippies, there were Jacoby Ellsbury hippies.
Oh, that's big true. Time.
Same kind of people.
Yeah, he went on for like 6.5 minutes this morning, I think. I think that's what I saw in Shaughnessy's column, 6.5 minutes.
That's only saying it was 6.5?
We're at the 4:30 mark.
Oh, geez, my bad. I thought it was 2.5.
So the one comment
but
hold on,
so who's John?
Lester.
Lester. Okay, so Lester's a fair comparison. That was money. They weren't willing to meet the... They didn't think he was worth the money. So that's... But Manny? Oh, my God. He had shot his way out of town big time.
Correct.
Nomar had shot his way out of town. Who else did he compare there? Who else did he throw on that? Ellsbury, please. Again, opinion was mixed on him. There were definitely some Ellsbury hippies, Ellsbury fans. But
Pedro.
Pedro, he was cashed by the end. Yeah. Come on, these are not fair comparisons.
No, they're not. And I'm telling you, it's like McAdam wrote his statement, for crying out loud. He went on and on. Like, you know, and the only part of it that, to me, really was worth saying, the system is not the reason we're in this position. End of story. They put themselves in this spot.
I'm glad you said that. And that's where, if he was genuine or anyone of them were genuine, it's we messed this up. And I know that we may be throwing some guys like Chris Hale, who are still on the team, under the bus a little bit because it's looking like a bit of a bad contract. But own it there. You had the opportunity right there when you end that sentence. We were at fault of how we've handled this.
It's not the system's fault that the Red Sox ended up in this position.
It's our fault.
Okay, but you know what? There's even a thing to be said that it's nobody's fault. That if I were them, I would say this. Guys, we're getting under the tax. Every team in the league gets under the tax every 3 years. Teams that make more money than us, we make a ton of money. But there are a few that make more than us, like the Dodgers and the Yankees, and they get under the tax every 3 years. I am committed to get under the tax every 3 years because that's smart business. And so we have to make some sacrifices along the way. And we're going to take a little bit of a hit in the short term because of it. But we'll be better off in the long term. Period. Next question.
Yeah, I'm going back a little farther than you to say that.
But they can't own it. Like they just can't own it like that.
And Mike, if they hadn't signed Sale and Eovaldi, they wouldn't be over the tax. You know, that's the one where I told you, to me, that's still the million-dollar question. That's the one you look at and say to them over again.
Tom Werner answered that, don't you think? when you knew you had this CBT hanging over your heads there, Tom, why did you sign Nathan Eovaldi and Chris Sale like you did?
Well, you know, are you saying, well, first of all, we made those decisions on those pitchers before these conversations. As we've said, we were hoping.
If I may. You did say, we've known for more than a year, was the quote from John.
Right, John, yeah, John jumped right in there. He got us, Tom.
Jimmy, can you cue up that beginning of that just real quick again? Because I actually want to play along here.
He's right, Tom.
Say, Tom, what exactly did you know about Bill Cosby?
Well, you know, are you saying, well, first of all, we made those.
Oh, that's tough. That's a hard one.
Oh, boy. But seriously, talk about an answer. It tells you everything you need to know. So, they mismanaged it.
What a day.
Oh, it's like...
Right. He's right, Tom. Well, shut your pie hole.
Tom, tell me a little bit more about Katie Kirk, if you could.
Well, you know, are you saying, well, first of all, we made those...
It was well known by 1995 in Hollywood circles what Bill Cosby was all about, but you were still looking to make shows with him?
Don't. Well, you know, are you saying, well, first of all, we made those...
okay. Yeah, once a year, it has to happen. Thank God for the Red Sox. It came on the holiday, so it's not going to... We're not going to repeat this tomorrow, right? It's just a one-off Red Sox beatdown.
That's like duck hunting season.
Some would call it fish in a barrel. All right, final word comes your way next. Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope.
All right, there was wasn't all Red Sox bashing today, as enjoyable as that was, though. There was some talk of the NHL trade deadline, which is a week from today. This caller was wondering about the availability of one Dustin Byfuglien. Pay attention for how he actually pronounced the name.
Dean in Salem with the Bruins at the deadline. Hi, Dean.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
First of all, I want to compliment you on that Trocheck move. I think that's a
Trocheck. Vinny Trocheck.
Yes, he's awesome if you can pull that off. What I wanted to bring up is a guy out there right now that's available. Winnipeg's looking to dump him. He's just coming off an injury. Dustin Byfuglien.
Okay, you can't butcher names worse than me. If you're worse than me with names, then you got to go.
Byfuglien, not Byfuglien.
Dustin. Yeah, I like Byfuglien. Yeah.
Byfuglien.
I don't know that's been Byfuglien, mate.
He's a defense.
He's Byfuglien out.
I'll tell you, we've had some butchered names over the years. Dustin Byfuglien's a good one. That's a keeper. It's how it's spelled, you understand?
Yeah. Even I know it's Byfuglien. Yeah. I do like Byfuglien, though.
I'm sorry. That one got me. It did.
What about Dustin Byfuglien?
All right. Move on before I make a complete jackass out of myself. It's too late. It's already
Keep going. It would require an extra G, I think, to find it as Byfuglien.
There's no G in there?
No, there is one.
How do you spell it?
Byfuglien.
Yeah. I want either Byfuglien or Trocheck.
The goalie for the 80 Olympic team in Russia.
I got it. They benched his ass after the first period.
He's like the head of international hockey in Russia now.
Yeah, I like that Trocheck guy. Yeah, he's good. He's good with his pads. But I still, if you made me pick, though, I'd like Byfuglien better.
Something about Byfuglien. I don't know. That's a keeper. Jimmy, make sure you archive that one, please.
Dustin Byfuglien.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Seriously.
No, I was, I felt badly about that. It's been Byfuglien me all day.
Hashtag Byfuglien or nothing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.